Gracious Father in heaven, thank you, Lord, again for today. Thank you for this privilege, O Lord. A time set aside for us to come together, to examine ourselves at your feet, Lord, and to worship you. And we thank you, Lord, that we are a part of the family of God. And thank you for thy word of eternal life, for which you have granted us, O Lord, in your grace, that we be a part of your family. And we thank you, Lord. It is time, Father, as we come, sit under your feet to learn of you. Speak to our heart, Lord, the little things in life that pertains to righteousness, that pertains to holiness, that pertains to that which is the fruit of the Spirit of God. We ask for your grace now, Father, you bless us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let me sit in. Let us go to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 5. We'll continue where we left off. There are still questions coming in and there are still people asking questions to understand. And I will just continue. And this time we have always, though we put the title understanding, we still have a little understanding of teaching or doctrine here and there. Alright? 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1 to 13. Can somebody read that? 1 Corinthians 5, 1 to 13.
It is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. And ye have puffed up, and have not rather mourned, that he had done this deed might be taken away from among you. For I verily, as absent in body, but present in spirit, have judged already, as though I was present, concerning him that had so done this deed. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when ye are gathered together in my spirit, with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver such as one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, the spirit will be saved in the day of our Lord Jesus. Your glory is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. I wrote unto you an epistle, not to accompany fornicators, yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or the extortioners, or with idolaters. For then must ye needs go out of the world. But now I have written unto you not to keep company. If any man that is called a brother be a fornicator, or covetous, or an idolater, or a railer, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, with such as one know not to eat. For what have I do to judge them also that are without? Do not ye judge them that are within, but them that are without God judge. Therefore, put away from among yourself that wicked person.
Amen. Alright, we're still on a certain subject here. Last week, continued last week. The dealing of believers. We're talking about truth. And we said this, that truth is not popular. Alright, truth must be something that is clear in the light of God's word. And we do not want to have just blind love. We know what is often quoted by those believers in end time message. The word that they take from Brother Abraham's statement, draw a bigger circle. You know, if the brother draw you out, you draw him in. And that's one thing about what Brother Abraham said about drawing the circle. You know. For example, we have here in Singapore, we have different churches, different group here, in the entire message. We don't cut them off. And all the years, well, whenever we have meetings, we try to invite them, but they won't come. Many of them practically will not even come. Unless they will come only when that minister that is here is known to them. And but whenever they have convention, they invite us, I'll announce it here, and somebody else will go. And I will always go. I draw the back circle. But they won't come in here. Fellowship with us is because they are drawing us outside their circle. You see, there's one thing for us, many people, to quote the scripture or quote what Brother Branham said, but they are not practicing it. But when it comes to this, what Paul said about drawing the circle, in fact, this text here, there are certain circles, certain people we cannot draw in. There are certain people that you cannot draw in to your circle. And that you must understand. And that some people do not understand, just like the doctrine about Yeshua only. The word must be you that we don't call Jesus Jesus, we call Yeshua. And this has been, even one brother from Africa asked me this question. It has been. From many places in Africa, even in the Philippines, India, they have asked me this question, many of all so many years. You know, the problem about those people who go into and say that you must only, we cannot call our Messiah, our Savior, Jesus. Because Jesus is not His name. Jesus is related to the name Zeus. You see. And in India somewhere, I'm not sure, I was told once that the word Jesus means a swine. It sounds like the word swine in their language. So what has that got to do? What has it got to do? Because many times the name sounds different. Now you call me, but a Filipino call me Lolo. Okay, they call me Lolo. But to other people, Lolo say, hey, you're crazy. Lolo, you're Lolo. You're crazy. So what does it mean? And the same thing with sign language. That's why in certain countries you go, don't use certain finger, you know, to some, the finger that we point, it may not be offensive here. But to some countries when you point, it's offensive. To each is his own culture. And because of this thing about this Yahshua in Delhi, the church broke up because of this extremism. And I already told the pastor over time, he asked me about, I dealt with that. But later on, he was, you know, move along with that sort of teaching. Now, when we talk about Yahshua thing, I ask this whole thing about, if we have to call our Savior by the name Yahshua, then we have to speak Hebrew. I ask a brother, what is the name of Peter in Hebrew? Huh? When Jesus was living in his time, did he speak Hebrew? He speaks most of that Aramaic. And he speaks Greek. So what do the people call Jesus in Greek? Isos. And not even Yahshua. But some people say, oh, you know, at least Greek Isos sounds very close to Yahshua. And all they think, your intonation is different. As I said, in Chinese we have Yasuo, Yasuo, Yesu, Yasuo, what do you call it? Mentoring, but do you know how to call that? Yasuo, Yasuo. So, different accent pronounced different because of your accent. So, what is the name of Peter in Hebrew? You don't get it. But the word Peter in Arabic is Butrus. Huh? Kifa. That's Hebrew. But Kifa means Cyphers. Or Cephas. So what's the name of Judas Iscariot? Judas. What's the name of Judas? Judah. So you change the name because of the phonetic sound of each language. You pronounce it. But people just get all they woke up on these things. And not so. And I said this, if we cannot, the word Jesus, of course, the word J never come in. It was actually I. But over time they just put the tail there called Jesus instead of Jesus. You know, so my name in Chinese, I'm the only son in my father's family. My middle name, Liang. My father's name is Gan. For all the male, they use Liang. For all the daughters, my father used the word Sok. Alright? Or Siu in Mandarin. And then there is a last name. So my Chinese name is Gan Liang Sing. My brother's name is Gan Liang Bing, Gan Liang Lok, Gan Liang Chak, Gan Liang Ho. But I'm the only one with the word in the middle with a G. Instead of L-I-A-N, I had a G after that. Liang, not Liang. So how did it come about? It's because the person who record my name, when my father pronounced it, to him, oh, Liang, put the N-G behind. And everyone has only L-I-A-N. My one has L-I-A-N-G. So it's how you pronounce the word. You see? We say Gan here. As I said, the American pronounce it as Gan. It's the intonation because they look at A-N as N, G-N, Gan. Here we have is G-A-G-A, G-N, Gan. You understand that? And I told them if that is so, the way you pronounce it, because that's the way you look at it, U-N is Un. G-U-N is not Gan, it's Gun. So my gun is a gun, but your gun is not a gun. The way you joke around that way. So you see, it's how we pronounce word. You know, and well, that's how it is. So there will always be questions. Don't want to look at the Bible. How do you prove it? The brother asked, how do you prove it that it should be called Yeshua? There's no way to prove that it should be called Yeshua. It's because that if God did not use the Hebrew language. I mean, in the beginning when God just designed the Hebrew language. Okay? When mankind speak, when God spoke to Adam, I don't know what language he spoke, but we assume that it is Hebrew. There was no written language. It's all spoken. Right. How was it then Adam when he was created? He was created, matured, and adult. How is it that he can understand what God is saying? What language is that? Hebrew? Did he learn it? Did he learn it? Or was it a communication by spirit when God speak to him? That you understand when God speak. He heard it. You understand. We only assume that God was using Hebrew. Because you go back to ancient times, you have Paleo-Hebrew, Paleo-Egyptian language. And Paleo-Hebrew is not Hebrew. It's beginning of what Hebrew developed to be. Or the Chaldean language. So, if God was to use Chinese. So what would be the name of Jesus? Let's have God use, the Lord use the beginning of life using Chinese language. You see the thing? Right. Thou shalt call his name Yasuo in Hokkien. Or what is speaking Cantonese? Thou shalt call his name Yasuo, 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 Yasuo. So what then? You see, that's peculiarity. People have this fanaticism over one word. Because the Bible said, the angel said to Mary, thou shalt call his name Jesus. In our English font translated. But in Hebrew, call his name Yahshua. So that definitely the angel did not speak English and then use the word Yahshua. Correct? He speak all in Hebrew. So maybe to Mary, he probably has spoken it in Greek. For all you know. You see? And in the book of Isaiah, he shall be called what? Counselor. Prince of Peace. Right. The Everlasting Father. Now, all these are named titles. So, why do we get all worked up with that? And every one of us has nickname. We have also named people call us by, right? I believe you all know your name. I think when I was young, they called me Also So. You know Also So, right? Because when I was young, I used to run around, you know, and get myself dirty. So my nickname is Also. So So means running around, you know. Also So, black, dirty. That's my name. I don't know what's your name that they call you when you were young. Everybody has a nickname. And well, when I worked in the hospital, Woolbridge Hospital, mental hospital, what they call me? Because I went out and shared the gospel, they call me Father Gunn, Reverend Gunn. All sorts of Gunn they call me. You know. So that's the way it is with life. So Jesus has name title too, that we know. And we will address Him as Almighty God, the Everlasting Father. We are addressing even as the Prince of Peace, King of my life. See. So now, when we look into to understand what the Scripture really says, understanding, let us keep the balance in the Word. So now we are dealing with believers about drawing the line. So here we have in 1 Corinthians, Paul dealing with this carnal Corinthian. Oh, this is the one church that was very carnal. Very carnal. The church in Galatia, the Christians are kind of a little foolish. The Ephesians, they are very learned. A different kind of Christian. But the church in Laodicea is a bit wishy-washy. Okay? They want their rights. Like I said earlier on, life is not your right. It's your privilege given to you. You didn't come to the world, you didn't ask to be born. Yeah, there are those who are upset about their life because of the problem. They say, I didn't ask to be born. Why did God make me? Well, the Lord will whatever He wants. Because He is the potter. You are just the clay. However bad it is, whether He wants to use it or not, you could just throw it away or use it. So it is a privilege. And as part of a Christian, our life is no longer ours. We belong to Christ. We are His prisoner. Right? How He holds us, how He manipulates us, how He shapes us the way He wants us. We are going through a state of rehabilitation, so to speak. God is shaping us. You know. To His likeness, to His character. So, Corinthian church was so carnal. The Paul have to deal with this. Look at it here. It is commonly reported fornication among you. Fornication is so common. You know, when Paul finally sit down to write them this epistle, he had to deal with it. And he said to the people, to Timothy, to Titus, and to Silas, when they go around, he said, let these letters be read in all throughout the churches. So, letter to Corinthians is also read over in Ephesus, in Galatia. Letter to Ephesus is also read in the other churches as well. So, people might learn. Not nice. My church here in Corinthians, my problem is our problem. Our problem is here. Why is this letter to be read in other churches? God is putting us to shame. And we know this shame is something important. That we need to understand and learn. Remember John Rossman article on child rearing? Parenting? Yeah, God is parenting us. When we make a mistake, that is shameful. Of course, it's shameful. And so this writer was right, and he said that even fornication, such a even a man will have his father's wife. Some believe that it is not incest, it's not the man's mother, but the man's, another wife belongs to the father. So it's not his natural mother. Well, it doesn't matter here. The question is that it's your father's wife, or even your brother's wife. How can you fornicate with someone who has a husband? And there seems to be nothing wrong to Corinthian, because it's such a common thing, fornication is going on. And this is what happened in history. If you're going to look into it, study it in Mormonism. You know. And yet in verse 2 he said, you are puffed up. You're puffed up. It just seemed to me there's nothing wrong. You're just so proud. And I guess the Corinthian church must be very big. Like today's mega churches. Because if a church allows anything to go, the church will get big. Will get big. If the church does not allow anything sin to come in, it always remains small. Think about it, huh? Look at the mega church in Africa, even in Singapore here. I was on the train last Sunday or previous Sunday on the way back. Sitting on the train, there was a Adam was sitting beside me in the, you know, in the first section where he says, give up your seat to those who need it most. Well, here came a woman, and I guess she needed a seat. She was not really elderly, she was probably in the 50 or 60 or more. You know. And I said, Adam, you can see one, you know, sit on my lap and let the woman have it. She sat down and she talked to Adam and talked to me and tried it and found that she goes to church. Asked me what church I belong to and saw me share. I shared with her. And I gave her a book to read. You know. So I asked her, have you been taught the truth? I said, what church you come from? Well, you went on the mega church, I don't mention that name. You know. So I said, well, have you been taught the truth that the pastor going into the word and teach you the truth? She said, yes. I thought every Christian would say yes. But if you go to church and you find out, what did they teach you? And on Sunday, it's more of preaching. Rather, they take you deeper into the word, make you to understand. You see? So, that's what it is. This Corinthians is so puffed up. And instead of, deal with it, so mourn about it, and feel sad that this thing happened. The he that have done this deed might be taken away from among you. Wow. No. Now, if in a mega church, if there is someone who is rich, and you know he's rich and he did lots of money into a tie offering box, and he committed something bad, he said, wow, if I suck him away from the church, that money is gone. Think about it, is that alright? And I said this one thing. God is not interested in your money. Are you sitting there thinking, oh, okay, now I'm not going to give my tithes? You think I'm worried? You see, if you are taught the truth, you believe right, you know what is right. I don't have to pass the offering box around and remind you and come up to you. Have you paid your tithes? Have you given your tithes to the Lord? I don't have to. If you are taught right, you know what the word says. Blessing is yours, not mine. Your tithes don't go into my bank account. And I said, for years already, I've never even increased my yearly portion that was proposed by the elders back in the 70s. I think about more than, I think about 15 years now, I guess. Or 10, I haven't even increased anything. Because what is money? If you think money is something that, you know, you can buy this, you can buy, live a good life, then you're not thinking right. Life is not about this body. Not about this three-dimensional world. Life is in that other realm that is real to you. Knowing that while you walk in this world, this world is not your home, you know that you are being drawn to the yonder. Huh? To a place beyond this dimension. And you know the reality because you know you are living in another dimension as well. Right. Verse 3. I verily have absent the body, but present and spirit have judged already. Wow! How? Oh, brother! You know how the people say, don't judge, don't judge. But again, don't judge. Lest you be judged. But Paul said, I've already judged already. So a lot of people don't differentiate between what judgment the Bible talks about in one place and another kind of judgment the Bible talks about in the other place. If a brother make a mistake or something like that, you know, you talk to him and forgive him and don't judge and condemn him bad. Right? But anything that comes against the word of the Lord, Paul said, I already judged already, because that's what the word said. The Bible said, thou shalt not steal. If you stole, the Bible judged already, right? Isn't it not true? But if you see a brother steal, just tell him, don't steal, don't do that, brother. Now, if you have a... I don't know where you have cases. The mother and daughter reported in the paper they were shoplifting. Now, if conscience pricked them... Well, I remember one case about my brother-in-law who stole something very... One of, it was a stylus, you know, gramophone stylus. You know, you play the record in those days. Shows, it's a cartridge, a stylus. You know, so he realized he did wrong, and how do we turn it back? Go back to the shop secretly, put it back. That's good enough. So do you have the courage to say, yeah, I'll do it. Go back to the back. Or you want to be more courageous to now go up to the man and say, go to the shopkeeper. Or owner of the shop and say, I'm so sorry. I don't want to come over me. I took this from the shelf. I'll return it back to you. And I think the man will be appreciate that your honesty. That you know your conscience that picks it. Huh? So Paul said, I already judged as though I was present concerning him that had done this deed. Though he was not in that place, he said that as if I was already there. Yeah, I have received requests, brother, how do we deal with this case in my church? Such and such thing happened. And then I have to look into it, deal with it, and give them what the Bible said. You know. Because some pastor doesn't know how to deal with it, perhaps. And perhaps this Corinthian church, they were just a mess. The pastor don't think much about it. So Paul had to write this letter. In verse 6, your glorying is not good. Don't you know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Yeah. If you don't deal with that case and put the brother away, that man away who committed fornication with his father's wife. Your growing is not good. That's bad. Don't allow the church today. My church is 10,000 people. Big deal. Sure. And just I was telling the woman who sits next to me in the MRT on the train, told her, I said, you know, did you ever know that the Church of God, an example of God that belongs to Christ, is always a little flock? But today we have thousands of people in a big, big church. Because the truth scares people. It scares me! But it set me free. That is a truth you must know. So a little leaven leaven the whole lump. So if the light, the thing comes in and they continue, it's going to damage the church. So he said, purge out therefore the old leaven. Then you may be a new lump. Sure, you all that sin and things of people, that person who calls himself a believer, who calls himself a brother, put him, purge it away. Not everybody who calls himself a Christian, not everybody calls himself, I'm a believer, I'm a brother in Christ, is truly one. Remember, even the angel, Satan even come in as angel of light. Hey man, I'm your brother. Right? But he's coming and saying, all men's a brother. That's just only a sin. Because you're all created by God. But not all, everyone who calls himself brother or sister is really a true believer. Alright? For even Christ, our apostle, is sacrificed. Because Christ himself is kept pure as a Passover. One without blemish. Remember the Passover sheep or lamb? Verse 8. Let us keep the feast. Now we are all leaven. Now we love the malice and wickedness. But with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth now, let us keep the feast. What feast? There's only one feast that we keep. Not the Passover, not the trumpet, not this or not that. The only feast we keep is this feast. The feast of eating the Word of God. The Passover lamb who died for us. The Word of God that was made flesh, that died for us. We keep the feast of eating the Word of God. Jesus said, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you do not have eternal life. So let us keep the feast. The Word and drink of the Spirit of life, which is the blood of Christ. We drink it. And it says here, we, the unleavened bread, okay, of sincerity and truth. Because when you eat the Word of God, when you drink of that life, cleansing blood, the spirit of it, this Word of God, the truth, will cause you to be sincere if you really receive it. If you believe the Word of truth, how can you act so insincerely? You can't. Now, let me say this. You're not going to get this kind of teaching in the churches out there. Because we're now in the end time. We're going to get right with the Lord. The church of Laodicea, before I stand at the door and knock. If you will open up, I'll come in with you and sup with you. You with me and I with you. When you have a personal relationship with Christ and stopping His Word the way it should be. Huh? You tuck in your meat and if it comes across a bone, you throw it out. Uh-huh. Sincerity and truth. Do we have the sincerity and truth? Because you know, human beings are like that. Many of us are still in the state where we're still playing parts. Insincere in many ways. The sin, your sin will find you out. Verse 11. But I have written unto you not to keep company if any brother, any man is called brother. Oh my goodness. Don't keep company with anyone who is called a brother. Eh? Who is a fornicator. Now, you work, if you go to work, you have a colleague who knows is a a playboy who fornicates, who goes to Jessica Road, who goes to prostitute, like here in Woodbridge Hospital, mental hospital where I work. And I work with them. 3 times they sit at the table. And they were talking about womanizing and all this gambling and whatever. All the vices. But they're my colleague. Right? I work with them. But beyond that, there's nothing in common. But when someone says, I'm a brother, I'm a Christian, I'm a believer, and he did this, sorry. There's a whole lot of different. So Paul said, if I want to be a judge, I don't have to go out there and judge the world. I judge what you begin. See? So if you be a fornicator, covetous person. You know what a covetous person? Covetous person. You ever seen covetous person in our fellowship? All this year you have been? Think about what covetousness is. When I was in the mental hospital, I've seen all those, some of these malenesses. Because back in those days, the mental hospital divided into 2 sections. One for female, one for male. And the male ward, no female nurses are there. It's all male. But today, no. You have female nurses mixed together now. So, when you have that, I have seen. They talk about what? Not about women, they talk about cars. And there's one nursing officer. When every time the new Nissan car appears in the market, he will change his car, which he just bought a year earlier, he will change it. So covetous for new model. So he could boast. How foolish that is. Then they were talking about the prices of going to race cars and playing all that, gambling all that. Now when you see covetous in a Christian, there's something to be very careful. It's one thing for you to say, I want to be a millionaire. You work hard? Sure, okay, let's work hard.
Okay.
But don't covet. You can work hard, you can get to buy a condo or a penthouse, whatever you want. That's a business. You covet for somebody else's wife or somebody else's things, then it's bad. Look, or an idolater. What is an idolater? No worship idol. Well, to me, a lot of people worship Brother Branham is an idolater to me. One brother wrote me, it's a brother gun. It's in Africa. He said, some of these men came to my fellowship from the other church and said, why do you not have picture of the Brother Branham or picture of Christ in the church? He asked me to prove that we don't need to have it or that we can have it. You know, some preacher has been around for some time. I don't know whether they learn anything or not. Just for your information, right here, let me give you a little sideline of teaching how you look at the Bible again. Now, let me ask you this question. Why did the Jew, Israel, in the Old Testament, sacrifice? Take a lamb, burn it, sacrifice. Whether it be goat, a heifer, or a sheep, or a lamb, or 2 turtle doves. Why is this being done? Isn't that paganism? So what's the difference between what Israel did and what the Shunis out there who offer chicken on the altar, oranges on the altar to their deities, so called? What's the difference? Do you have an answer to that? Let's go back into history. When God created Adam and Eve, was there any sacrifice? No, there was no sacrifice. Nothing. When sin came, God had to kill animals, whether it be a heifer or a sheepskin or sheep, and clothe Adam and Eve. So blood was shed. That's innocent blood. of innocent animal. Now, Adam from that had the revelation that because of what sin? What it is, what is the need of shedding blood? Because mankind is contaminated already. It came into the world. Now, God did not tell us until Cain and Abel offered a sacrifice. He didn't tell us how many sacrifices Adam had done. The Bible did not say that. It was silent. Right? We do not know. But Cain and Abel living in a home under the roof of Adam must have learned what happened in the garden. And that Cain knew that he was not the son of Adam, but the son of the serpent. And that's why he shows the character of Cain. Defiant. Blood. I do not need it. I can offer God the best out of my gardens. Whatever I planted there. So sacrifice begins. So now you look at the sacrifice. One offer an innocent animal and shed blood. The other offer a pile of vegetable. Yeah, now here, from here we can see sacrifice is being done and God allows it. Okay. God wants to have something to remind men of what happened in the garden. Blood was contaminated. Blood must be shed. For without the shed of blood, there is no remission of sin. It's a reminder to the people of Adam as it comes down after the flood. But that other lie of the serpent said, just offer fruits, let off perhaps they offer chicken and whatever else. And crossing the line, the Kenic people, though they already know the name of God is called Yahweh, or Yehovah, yes, they decided to also worship and offer sacrifice to Yahweh, but invoke the name of Yahweh upon an idol. They began to call upon the name of the Lord and invoke it upon an idol. So, how Satan will cross and blind the people has what is reality. So, beginning there was a sacrifice. Right? Just a reminder. All they need is sacrifice a lamb offered to God to keep memory of what God did to innocent animal to clothe and cover up the nakedness of Adam and Eve. Over time, paganism came in. There's a mixture between what is truth and what is error. That isn't why you don't mix truth and error. What is God mixed with man? What was the static, what was the Adamic way of worship? And just as sacrifice the lamb, shedding blood, it become mixed with men, with fruits, and with idols. Paganism comes in. But you see, Israel did not recognize that all that sacrifice was appointed to the Messiah. They didn't see that. Right. Okay. Then, over the period of time, Moses came in. Now God set up a temple or a tabernacle. So now in the tabernacle you have imagery. You got it? Imagery now. Sacrifice, or maybe I'll put it this way because you're looking from left to right over that side. Sacrifice into paganism. From paganism God is putting out, give you now the imagery. On the Ark of the Covenant, you have the cherubim, overshadowed the Shekinah glory. The lampstand, the table of showbread, the altar of incense. What does that all mean? The labor, the present labor on the outside, what do they all mean? They are all imagery. Well, it looks very paganistic, isn't it? Lampstand. Yeah, paganism also have lampstand. I mean, lamp, right? Yeah. Correct. Even a big joystick, big one. the riches of the heaven. You see, Satan will come out home and do all that. And why do the church have steeple? Why have some of the religion, when they build their place of worship, with all these sharp pointing spire up into heaven? That's because the church of all the Nimrods. That's all these things from the Bible came into it. But God represented the lampstand was for some representation. Nothing holy in that lampstand. Right? You understand what I mean? You only represent what God is. The table of showbread. The showbread represents what? Represents food. Represents life. The order means son, when you borrow me son, your life, holiness to the Lord. That's what you all represent. That's it. Because God has shown this imagery, all these artifacts, to represent something. Then when to represent what? To represent Christ. So when Christ comes, the final one is reality. From sacrifice to paganism put out, imagery put out into reality. And Christ came. And what did John say? And we beheld his glory. He had a see that burning fire, pillar of fire over the tabernacle in the night, or the pillar of cloud in the daytime. What is that? He said, that's the Shekinah glory of God. Or the glory of God, the pillar of fire. Huh? Pointed right inside the whole most holy place is a Shekinah glory between the two cherubim. It's just a representation of what it is. Because God is not in the literal tabernacle. That was the prefiguration of Christ being in us. We are the tabernacle. We are the real temple. Those are prefiguration. Imagery. Something that points to what is reality. They are typing of what is to come. And you know, you and I, we are all stones, right? We are lively stones. And we are being built, God used us to build into a holy city, New Jerusalem. See? But the people fail to see reality. Alright, let's continue. If a man is called a brother, be a fornicator, covetous, an idolater, or a railer. Oh, you know what it really is? One who nag and complain against the church, against this and that, against truth, railing, talking bad about this and that. My. Or the drunkard. Well, drunkard doesn't mean necessarily that he's drunk with alcohol in itself. Drunkard means in many forms. Drunkard could mean also one who is a gluttoner. A glutton. Drunk in his spirit of always criticizing, of saying things against the word, against the truth, against the church. I saw one of my friend who spoke against Bob Branham, twisting his word in my face. Be careful, I said. You may think that you know what you are doing, but you don't. And you find yourself later on standing before the Lord and giving an account of what you did. You know. So that's what a lot of Christians doesn't know about William Branham ministry. And they're still speaking against William Branham. They find a mistake in his discrepancy at all, they rail against him. They call him in the spirit to rail against him. Because back in the 70s, somebody sent me, I think, 2 pages of a thesis done by a student in the Far East Bible College, IBBC, which happened to be run by the Life Presbyterian Church down in Newton Road. And that paper was against me, against William Branham. A student wrote that. He took my book on original sin, misquoted what I said, twisted it until the whole thing becomes so garbage. Called Brother Branham and so on. So I finally wrote to the person. His name is Dad, Carol, the Bible school, and one copy I sent it to the dean. And I tell him, I said to him, all this you have written, you have twisted the word. Quote exactly, if you can. But if you want to discuss about it and have a debate with me, it's personal, give me a reply. I'm willing to sit with you and discuss with you. No reply from them. That's exactly the ugliness of many Christian people. They twist word and rail against others. Even Brother Mike did that to me. Said, let's come and talk about it. There was no reply. If you got to say something that is against someone, and someone tell you that it's not true, come and see the person, let's talk. And if you dare not, you are a coward. That means you have been telling lies. You say things to your advantage. Then I told you what one brother did. And put it on his website. Against me and brother Nice. A terrible way. And I gave him a warning to Brother Nice to write to him, if you don't take that now, I will expose him. And he finally took it out. No word of apology, nothing. That's good enough for me. If you know you are wrong, do what you need to do. If you know what you believe is right. That's why if you believe right, you are taught right, you believe right, you will live right. The choice is yours. Okay? An extortioner. Research and one. No, not to eat. Oh. No, not to eat. The word eat, what does it mean? Well, someone interpret that if you see him on the roadside, or in the coffee shop, and he said, come over, let's have a coffee together. No, I cannot have coffee with you. The Bible says I cannot eat with you. Well, you want to practice that, that's okay. But the word not to eat means no, not to have fellowship. Not to have feasting with him. That's terrible, huh? That's bad, huh? But how many people practice that? The churches today don't think much about it because draw a bigger sucker. He's a fornicator, he's an adulterer. You want to eat with him? If there's anybody here in Singapore that says Brother Branham is absolute and he's God, I won't eat him. But if you want to say what Brother Branham said, that's okay. Because he doesn't have the understanding. We need to understand how much the Bible talks about. Seriously. You see the word call a brother. Between such a one and a stranger who have committed the same offense, the brother is the one the Bible said deserves a heavier punishment. Why? Because he knows the truth. A sinner out there who doesn't know Christ, who did not accept Christ, and he committed fornication, that's one thing. But because a believer, and if you're told, no, you shouldn't be doing that, you continue to fornicate and fornicate, what happened? You see that? One person asked me, how many times does it take to call a man a liar? How many times does he have to lie to call him a liar? How many times? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5? Yeah. You come here one time a lie, I say, hey, you're a liar, man. Just one, you accept one lie, you're a liar. But that's not what the Bible actually says, just one lie. You commit fornication once, and you're given a warning, right? In your weakness, you're given a warning. Don't do it. You go back again, you do it again and again, then you're a fornicator, you're a liar, you're constantly lying. You are a believer, right? How many times for you to take for you to believe to be a believer? One time. Yeah, I'm a believer yesterday, today I'm not. So you're calling myself a believer? A believer is one who is a living thing. Are you a believer? Then you have to be a living being. If you're a liar, you're constantly person who repeat lying, what do you call that? Compulsive lying. Yeah. Every one of us, how many of you never lie? That's possible for you to say you never lie. Okay, just look at your last one. Think about whether you have lied. That's last month. Yeah, little white lie. White lie? What about grey lie? What about black lie? What is this white lie thing? Or maybe it's the blue lie towards it's a heavenly lie, you know, to help somebody go to heaven. What is a lie? You see, we are a living being. When you do something all the time, you are alive in that, right? Because there is a spirit working in you. If you are alive in Christ Jesus, you are alive every day. You are a believer every day. If you are a liar, constantly, compulsively lying, and you have a spirit, you have a problem. Fornicator, you like to go and fornicate. Commercials, for money to now you think about covering that. Oh. Are you continuing to say, problem is the absolute? Come on, man. His word is above the Bible, you know. This is a written word. His word is a spoken word. You keep on saying that, then you have a problem. I will not eat with you. Because you make the word of God know your heart. Just like what we saw last week. Philip. Kaku, whatever their name is now. What do you believe? He says, oh, he doesn't teach from the Bible. He got a new revelation from God. Oh, yeah. This Bible is a foundation. Anytime you take this Bible away from under you, you collapse. Alright, let's go on. Paul said, for what have I to do to judge them also they are without? So what would I have to do to judge people that are outside? It has nothing to do with me. The Lord will judge whatever it is. God will judge up there. But do you not judge them that are within? The body of Christ here. Your many members. If your body, this natural body, physical body, if something is happening to your arm, and it's having a disease, they're going to affect your whole body. What are you going to do with this arm? Like a diabetes, you've got gangrene, right? What are you going to do with it? Are you going to cut it off, or are you going to kill the whole body? You know, gangrene can cause you to die, the whole body, the whole person to die. What are you going to do with it? You see? You judge within your body. But then that are without God judge. Therefore, put away from among them that wicked person. Oh my, the Bible says a wicked person. Oh, truly, he is wicked. Because there is sin, there is evil. Hey, Paul is not playing the fool here. And so he is the only apostle that have written all these 30-40 books to get the people to see the truth that God means business with you. You don't play with his word. That's why he can rebuke Peter for playing the hypocrisy. Who is Paul? Paul says, I'm an apostle of God. And you better take heed the which I've given to you, they are from God. If you are any spiritual person or prophet or preacher here, let him acknowledge what I've given you, they are from God. Man. He's such an arrogant man, isn't he? Did Peter ever say that? No. God had to take a man out of due season. Christ had to choose him, a man out of due season. Not one from among the 12 that he chose. Because they only knew Christ after the flesh. Paul did not. And he said, I'm not taught by the revelation of man, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though I see him, Jesus Christ. And he told those disciples they knew he had seen Christ. He might have seen Christ in reality when he was preaching, but never was a disciple. He said, we know him no more after the flesh. We see him no more after the flesh, but we see Jesus. We see Christ in the Word. If you can't see Christ in the Word, then what are you? So the Word is my roadmap. Now, Paul, in this epistle, he speaks about that man. Put away that man. As I said, he didn't mention the name here, no doubt. But this is not just one case. He was talking about all the other cases of fornication, covetousness, and everything. But he mentions a dead person. And this epistle has been read by all over Asia. So Paul had done that. You know, Paul wanted to stop misconduct in his track. Right. We have to nip the problem in the bud, so to speak. That's why he has to be with Peter. That's one of the instances. How many of you remember the last year, month or so ago? You know the video, the racist video, the brown face video? You know, about how many have you seen this on YouTube? How many? Oh, it's taken down, right? But there's a way to see it. I saw it. I used a VPN and I went and looked at it. Man, these two persons, I mean, they were offended. I don't know why they're so offended. Now, he had been discussing the forum. People had discussed that it is true now that Singapore has become very sensitive. But in the just because Media Corp having an advertisement about pay, something to do with pay what? Pay finance. So he's a Chinese man who do so many roles. Act as a Chinese woman, act as a Malay woman, you know. Then as a brown man, his face brown. Just because he's a Chinese acting like this, people get offended. So Media Corp apologize. But if you go back to the day when Portugal, right? Remember Portugal is Chinese family drama thing? Huh? They all act different characters, huh? Yes. But people are offended. So now this two Indian brothers and sisters, I think they are, make a video, and man, it's so vulgar. Vulgar finger signs. Vulgar words. Against the Chinese. No wonder our MP Shanmugam came and said that, and exposed them and put a stop to that. And that video was taken down. Huh. And what did this do? Person do? They apologize. You have to apologize. If you don't, you are creating problem for a nation that has a mixed race of people. Should you be offended because I'm a Chinese, paint myself black and become like Indian to act the role of the Indian man? Why do you get offended? Do you remember the two place called Ducky? You still remember that? What happened to Ducky? It's no longer Ducky. It's Dali. Why? Back in those days, we have these minstrels. White people paint up black to act black people. So what's the problem? Well, I don't know. I think the black people don't like it. And call the toothpaste Ducky. So their company have to change it to Dali. You know, you got all these things going on. Hey. Man, if I'm a black man, I will be plucked for a toothpaste to be called Ducky and show my white teeth. And that's why I told the brother when I was in Africa, out there in the village, when we have meeting in the room and we get up, there was no light because there are no street light. It was total darkness. I couldn't see the brother. They were wearing black suits. And all they talk about when they talk to me and they open their mouth, I could only see the white teeth. You say, oh, what this be proud of themselves. And I don't know why they got all this issue. You know, human beings are like this. They have the tendency to stereotype. That's true. You know, you see one person doing all this, you say, oh, the race that belong to the same as this man, it behave like that. That's not very true. But because we are in a world that, you know, the world has become smaller. You know that, don't you? The world has become smaller. I remember those days when I was young in the 60s, when my father had to go to China. The airplane was too costly, and the plane was too slow. They were plop, 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 plop. And he had to take the boat, the ship. And I think it took him almost 2 weeks to reach there, a week or so, to reach China. But today, a couple of hours we're there. Right, and every airport you landed, you see all kinds of people. You only go to England, London, you think you only see the English people? You will see all kinds of people there. The Bengali will be there, the Spanish will be there, the Indian will be there, the Japanese will be there, and then you might bang to a fellow Singaporean. The world has become smaller, and we're going to rub shoulder. So whatever race you are, you're all going to mix them. We're all going to see everyone there as a cosmopolitan world now. It's so mixed. No escaping. Even in Amazon, you think you only see what you think in a movie, or the Amazon woman, the kind of character there. You see all kinds of people out there in Amazon. Whether Brazil, Argentina, Bolivia, Nicaragua, Suriname, any of these places. You see all kinds of people there. Alright. So, you see, for the nation to function peacefully and to grow prosperity, the government have to nip all these things in the bud. Have to deal with this kind of thing. So that's why they came out to apologize, those two men. Alright, and then we look at the rapists, the five rapists. I remember they took turns raping a young lady in a hotel. Now, they were caught, the name was mentioned. They're shaming them. Whenever you do anything that is against the law, you'll be made to shame. Here in Singapore, in some countries, maybe you get away with it. But what about the Church of God? What about the Church of God? Do you want to hide it? The law doesn't hide. You expose. Except, of course, unless it is to what you call to prevent, you know, innocent people, like a man molest, a teacher molest a school a student. But don't mention the school name, don't mention the name of the person and the name of the kids because of the child, for that reason. So what we do as a Singaporean, we respect authority. If you ever watch some of those videos about Singapore incident, you can see some of the people that don't respect the law. They argue with the police. And four or five policemen will surround him. And he will still argue. And the one case was a Malay, an Indian man. Argue, refused. You know, he wanted to punch the policeman. So they have to pacify him. If the law of the land deal with this kind of thing, that is no respect to the law. What do we do about the word of God? Do we respect authority? So now, what about people like Hymenaeus, Philetus, Alexander, whose name was mentioned by Paul, right? You know the case. You all know these people. If you tell me you don't know, that means you're not reading the Bible. Hymenaeus, Philetus. What did Paul mention their name? Oh! Resurrection is gone. Resurrection is gone. And Paul said because of that thing, they keep on preaching that, forget that, it destroyed the faith of many. But what does the doctrine was, whoever want to speak anything about your doctrine that is not true, why do we call your name? Hey, outside there is outside. But within the assembly, the Paul knew them. They are part of the assembly. Do you know that? Hymenaeus and Philetus were part of the assembly. They disagree with us, it's over. And they start to what we call chocho behind. It is what we call, they get to propagate, instigate all these things behind. And that's what had been done to my fellowship back in the 80s. The fourfold ministry. That brother, we only interpret whatever he wants to. And even in his own dreams, that the Lord even interpreted through prophecy, and he didn't even see it. I sat down with him and talked with him and discussed him and proved to me, he couldn't accept it. Why? Because his mind already made up. Because of one booklet that was written by an American man, that there is only four formulations, not five. How come there is four? Apostles, prophet, evangelist, pastor and teacher is one, not two. So you have four fingers, not five. I think I'm going to cut off this one so you can see there's four. Why? How did he prove it? He told me, he says, but he even personally told me, he said, Brother Gann, the American man. My book was read by the Methodist Church organization, and they said I was right. Oh, you need the organization to say you are right? Tell me, how is it right? Well, the word Kai, K-A-I, in Greek, pastor and teacher, pastor Kai. Teacher. Kai means one together as one. Ha ha! Okay? They are not two, they are one. I say, okay. So they read the Bible very carefully. I ask him. The Bible said the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Pharisees, Kai, Sadducees, they are one or two? They are one. So they are one. So the man who is a Pharisee and Sadducee must have half. This part here, Pharisees, this part here, Sadducees. He's working on two feet, one person. But he's Pharisee and Sadducee. Is that what he did? Let me ask you this. Are you a sinner or a sinner? Can you be a sinner, sin? Saint and sinner. Saint, Kai, sinner. There's no such thing as sinner, sin. Or saint, sinner. Either you are sinner or you are sinner. You get what I'm saying? The only thing that you can be, you can be a father and a husband. Yes. Right? A father and a son, you can be. Yes. But if we talk about the Pharisees, it's one group. We talk about the Sadducees, it's another group. We talk about the pastor, it's one group. Talking about teacher, it's one group. This Bible is clear on that. Don't just misinterpret because of the kind. And because of that, he went behind my back. Started to call so and so on the phone until they had to tell me. He said, well, again, I think this teaching is maybe true. I have to call those that are brainwashed by him to sit down, and I'm going to show them the scripture. You see, numerology. Alright, numerology. I'm talking about numerology. God is in number. All your odd numbers. 1, three, five, seven are heavenward. Right? Two, four, six, eight are earthward. Five. The five heavenly gifts. The ascension ministry. The five wounds of Christ. Where did he get the five wounds of Christ? When he was lifted up. Grace. You see the thing about it. One is one God from heaven. Seven is a perfect number. The rainbow is in the sky. Broken from God. Nine is finality, right? What's the next number? What's the next number after nine? There's no ten. There's no zero. You want to relearn maths? Huh? I was showing my grandson about learning maths. We always count like this. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. It's not like this. It's 0. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Your calculator don't have a 10? Think about it. 10 is outside of the single number, and there's only the 0 to 9. Two witnesses. As you have the Bible or New Testament. The two witnesses, they came. Alright? All that you see in the Bible. The two witnesses. Four points, compass of the earth, the four horns of the altar, earth, sacrifice to the Lord, earthly. Six hours. Christ died for men of the earth. Adam was killed on the 6 days. 8, resurrection. Christ raised from the grave. 9 is finality. Heavenward is the Holy Spirit giving us the 9 gifts. So they are all there. And you cannot change 4. Four ministry. Where they come from? 4 is earthward. Where they come from? Bible Jesus said, when Bible Paul said, when he ascended to heaven, right? He gave gifts to men. All the odd number from heaven was down. Well, you have Hermanus, Philetus, and you got Alexander. Alexander, my goodness. He did a lot of harm to Paul. I don't know what harm he did to Paul. Definitely not physically. But mentally perhaps, and whatever aggressions of words. Go to the book of 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy 1, 18, 19, 20. Here is what Paul wrote to Timothy. This charge I commit unto you, son Timothy, according to the prophecy which went before on thee, that thou by them might war a good warfare. Hey, that is true. We are all in warfare, you know that? Okay, we're not here on a vacation. We're not here in this room to play billiard. This is not a recreation room. It's a battlefield, my brother, as the song said. It's a battlefield. Okay, you are learning how to fight. Holding faith and a good conscience. Holding faith. That's why we don't have faith, hope, and charity. Holding faith. Are you holding your faith or you just let it loose any way you want? Okay, you don't compromise on that. And a good conscience. If you don't have a good conscience, you can never be sincere. And vice versa, if you're not sincere, you cannot have a good conscience. You'll play parks with it. Okay? Which some having put away. Concerning faith. You see what you mean? You have the whole faith. But you have put away faith. Make shipwreck. Messed up. Hey, don't mess up with your faith. If the Bible says this, mess it. Don't say, this will do, that will do. That's what happened to my friend. This will do, that will do, until he don't even know. First of all, he said, Trinity may be wrong. He said, I hear grace, oneness. Then now he thinks maybe it's two. What's wrong with you? Can't you understand? Sit down and learn. No. He want to learn. He think he got the answer. You know, some people think that because they are 2 or 3 years older than I am, or even 10 years older than I am, they are not teachable by me. I'm learning even from younger people, from younger preachers. I'm learning from overseas. Whatever they share with, I enjoy it. I enjoy what Brother Andrew Peter wrote. Yes. Some good point here that I'm still learning. I don't say, no, I don't work for anybody. I'm my own boss. I'm the one who teaches everybody. I don't know everything. Paul doesn't know everything. Do you see what I'm talking about? Holding faith and a good conscience, which some have been put away concerning faith, have been shipwrecked, messed up. Of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan. No. Put him away. Put him out of the church. When a person is put out of the church, there's no umbrella of the church upon him. There's no more protection. He's put out. And Paul even said, you know, let the Satan do whatever he could do to him. You know, to his physical, his thinking and all this. At least his soul be saved. If he is still holding on to Christ. That they may learn not to blaspheme. Wow. Right. That's devout to send me excommunication. Not allowing to the church, he's unprotected. That's why I told you about a sister here, a believer years ago in the 70s, 80s. I finally to say, don't come back. And after several years, I think about almost 10 years, she called me. Wanted to come back. She said, no. And I brought the phone number. And the phone number is a golden number. Not soon after that, a few weeks or so later, a call came in. It's another golden number, a changed one. Same person. He said, I want to come back. I said, no. But the Lord Jesus told me to tell you to come see me. I said, the Lord Jesus told you to tell me to come see you? I said, the Lord Jesus didn't tell me to come see you. You see, that's a lot of make-up story. Oh, my brother, don't you have any compassion for him? For her? To let her come back? No. She can go to our church, but not in this fellowship. Rebellious, disobedient, time and time again. Against the word of God. So if that's what you want to do, out you go. Don't come back. This is not a place for you. And that goes to every one of you here. The same. We are dealing with the word of God. We are get into a place where God wants us to be. Settle down in the word of God, not trust to and flow. Settle down in his word, speaking the truth in love. And live the life that Christ wants us to live. Not a compromiser. Holding the faith with a good conscience. That's why I tell you, whenever when you go against the word of God, you are stubborn and rebellious, God's going to deal with you. We are here, as Paul said, when we gather together, not just in the communion, but when we are gathered here together, we are being judged. We're not here for a party, we're here to be judged by the word of God, to line up with the word of God. Am I living the right life? Am I believing what you want me to believe? Am I believing the truth? Or we're just here to be religious? Isn't it? 2 Timothy. So, anyone who speaks evil of the ghost, reject him, and leave him to the wiles of the devil. 2 Timothy 4, 14 and 15. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. That's right. The Lord reward him according to his works. You know what Balaam said? That's true. The Bible said that's one true. He said that the church out there have their program. They have their reward. Whether it be this mega church or that one, they have all the program, they have their reward. They want to have a program where they want to raise funds for charity and give it to the charitable organization out there. They have their reward. Got it? Sure. Whatever you saw, you did. Huh? See, the magnitude out there with all the millions of dollars, they say they're charitable, you know, helping the organization. Yeah, they have their reward. And people will flock to that church. What is your reward? Here in this little fellowship, what's your reward? Huh? Now, we have one is the fruit of the Spirit of the Word of God. That's what we want. Our reward is just Christ in me, the hope of glory. Of whom be thou aware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. He hath greatly withstood our word. Be aware. He said the word there. Of whom be thou aware? Means be thou aware. Oh, Paul said, be aware of these guys. They withstood our words. When you tell people to be aware of such and such a person, what does it mean? The person is dangerous. Right? Be careful. Be aware. He strongly withstood our word. Paul said, our words. Now Paul is just writing this letter to Timothy, together with Titus, Silas, all of them, whom are his, what we call, runaways. And they are all apostles, because they taught the apostle doctrine brought to them by Paul. Alexander, Hymenus, Philetus, be careful of them. Be aware of that. They withstood our words. So, Paul's word is the word of God. For he had the touch of the Lord upon those doctrines and revelation. Are you aware of it now? Do you understand what I'm saying? Okay, now let us look into a few scriptures before we close. Let's go to the book of Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, 15 to 20. Well, somebody can read that. Matthew 7, 15 to 20.
Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them.
Alright. Put your finger on that page. There's one clause of word here that I want you to observe. I talked about it last week in brief, but I want to show you how you are to understand what he's talking about. Concerning fruit or fruits. Look at the verse 20. By their fruits you shall know them. Alright? Move back there. Go to another verse. Galatians 5, 22. Galatians chapter 5, 22 to 26. Alright? You got it, Brother Luke?
But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affection and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit.
Okay. There's one verse I want you to look at. It's in verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit. Mark that cross down. I want to show you. You know, people just don't remember, just doesn't know what Jesus was talking about when he talked about the fruits. And here was the fruits. Oh, and this man is a Christian. No, look at his fruit. It's so nice, so nice. You know what a fruit is, right? You know what a fruit is, that's why it's written here. Fruits, right? Long suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, temperance, kindness, he's very nice. So he's a Christian. And I told you this many times that the Buddhist monk have this too. They're meek, they have brother kindness, they have love, correct? But he's still a Christian. Okay, Ephesians chapter 5. Mark all these three places. Ephesians 5, 6 to 17. Read the whole passage on that 6 to 17 so that we know what the context is all about. Okay, read it.
Ephesians 5, 6 to 17. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the son of disobedience. Therefore, let you not be partakers with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk the Spirit of life. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore he says, awake ye who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. See them that are walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore do not be unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is.
Alright. So you look again at this one particular verse in verse 9. For the fruit of the Spirit, is that an S in there? Is it singular or is it plural? The fruit of the Spirit. Oh, you say, oh, brother, again, the word fruit in Greek always is the same word. Yes, maybe true. But that is always what we call, that is pointing to one particular thing. The. Not just the fruits. But this the is the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit. And it says that the fruit of the Spirit is righteousness, goodness, it's in all goodness, and in righteousness, and in truth. So the fruit of the Spirit has to do with truth. And when truth is there, it is righteousness, and all the goodness that come from the Spirit of God. That's why in Galatians, what do you see in Galatians just now? That you have all this nine fruit of the Spirit. Still singular. The fruit of the Spirit, particularly talking about the fruit of the Spirit, is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentle faith, temperance, meekness, again, which is no law. Because these are truth and righteousness. Go now to James, I mean to Matthew. Matthew here, it says in verse 20, wherefore by their fruits, not the fruit of the Spirit, their fruits, you shall know them. Now, if you were to sit down and discuss a bunch of preachers that come and they talk about the Bible and they talk about doctrines, how do you know whether they are telling the truth? So Jesus says, by their fruits you shall know them. Five different ones from different denominations, I can tell who belongs to which denomination. It's brought by their fruits. By their fruit means by their words, by their teaching, by their confession. That's what Jesus said in verse 15. Beware of false prophets. They shall come to you in wolves, sheep's clothing. Inwardly they are ravening wolf. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men get a grapes of thorns and thicks of thistles? Do you get from a tree, orange, an apple, what else the Bible here say? Every good tree bring good fruit. A corrupt tree bring forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, nor a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bring forth not good fruit is hewn down and is cast into the lake of fire. By their fruits has nothing to do with their meekness, their faith, their temperament, nothing to do with this here. Because these are not the fruit of the Spirit. It is their fruit. Their fruit. Okay. Next year I'll come up here with the rope, with the big cross. Right? Okay, you know what I'm saying? Look holy, right? Isn't it? Oh, that's holy man. That's why we in India, people who have saffron, those orange robe, you know, looks like a holy man. Maybe next time I come out here with a purple robe, what we call this sash, right? And holding a big stick and a big cross, a crucifix, and come up here and I do all the signs, the religious signs. Am I a good holy man? Just because I dress like that? Because the whole world look at religion. A religious man, a priest, or whatever he is, must dress like one. Because people have been brainwashed to think that that is the norm. You got it? Because that's the mind. That's the norm. Did Jesus go around acting like that? He walks to the marketplace with that, with a religious robe going around? No! But the Pharisees, yes. Correct? They go up there with this, wow, this rope that they have, very broad. So when they walk, they swing. So nobody should touch it, you know, because they're not supposed to touch it. That's a holy garment. Jesus didn't. He rubbed shoulder with 50 men, sinners, walking among them. Right? And they don't even know that was the Messiah. So by their fruits, plural. Their fruits, plural. You shall know them. What comes up from their mouth is what the fruit. Because why? How do you know? How do you know when a sheep comes in, that is a sheep, that it is not a red-winged wolf? I already told you this already. I told you this. How do you know that a person comes, a Christian, a preacher coming here, and then he starts to share his word? How do you know that that is not a sheep? Or a wolf among sheep, going among all the sheep out there as they eat the grass. The sheep getting in the ground, and here comes the wolf in sheep's clothing. The sheep wouldn't know. Until that wolf in sheep's clothing opened its mouth. When a sheep opened its mouth, what did they? What is the word? Bleed. But a wolf opened his mouth. Doesn't sound like that. Jesus giving that parable. How many people understood that? Do I know? Sheep's clothing, wolves in sheep's clothing. That's why by the fruits you know them. What comes out from their mouth? And what did Jesus say in another place of Matthew? What comes out from their mouth comes from their heart. Oh, God is for. God is by. Baptism in this, baptism in that, which is not even conform to the word of God. See what I'm saying about? You don't, by your fruit, what fruit are we looking at? By the fruit of the Spirit within you. That's different. May the Lord bless you. Father in heaven, thank you, Lord Jesus, for your word. Grant us, O Lord, constantly look at thy word and to understand it, to learn, Father. That in this life, Father, that we live from day to day, Father, following your word and eat of you. And may we continue to grow strong by your grace. And bless us, Lord, as we walk in thy word and live it. We thank you for everything. In Jesus' name, Father. Amen.